Welcome everyone to Midday Magazine for this August 17th, 2023. We hope you're having a great day out there. We are right now because we got our good friend Jackie Carantini in studio from UW-Madison Extension. Good afternoon, Jackie.
Good afternoon.
How you doing?
I am great.
So good to have you here, Jackie. Always appreciate the time. I always learn and grow when you join us. And today, I think, I don't want to say you're taking us in a different direction, but to our previous conversations, it's a little different, but then if you take a step back, like, oh, this all ties together.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to talk about a program. I offered it in the summer, and I had such a strong response that people said, well, what about, it's not just old people or people who are thinking about, you know, I'm really making my plans immediate, but what about younger people? I'm like, oh, so true. So we have a series called Planning Ahead, and in reality, it's for anyone over the age of 18. So I know I've told you I have a 18-year-old that's heading off to college. We went through this. Like, we went through these materials because it is important to make sure that I know if something happens to her, what her wishes are. You know, does she want to do an advance directive? What, you know, really, where does she stand on these things? And it's not a conversation we have with our young adults or middle age or even because we don't want to talk about death. No one wants to talk about it. So it's one of those things that it hits everybody. No one, you know, gets out of this. So 18 and older, all the way up, the program I just had in the summer, I had several, actually like five people that were in their 90s and thinking about, well, I planned stuff 30 years ago. It doesn't need to change, you know, that kind of thing. So yeah, so it's a series. It is seven sessions. We will be doing it on Monday nights at McMillan. It's free of charge. You can come to one, you can come to a mall. They do build off of each other. But we cover a lot of different topics. So the first is kind of, you know, how do you get started? So that's the biggest piece. As when I talk with folks, they're like, oh my gosh, this is so overwhelming. Like, I have nothing. I don't even know where to start, right? Or maybe they did do a will. And sometimes that's in people's heads. Like, okay, I took care of my house, my car, like, and my kids, you know, whatever. But what about the rest of it? Like, because the rest of it is a lot more internal. You got to be thinking, right? So I don't know. I don't know if I've ever had this conversation with you. But do you want to have a funeral, James? Do you want to have, you know, people looking at you? Do you want to have a visitation? Would you rather have a celebration of life? You know, all these things. We don't talk about this. We don't ask. But when you do ask someone, they can be like super passionate about it. Like, and I've had this in my own family. Like, I absolutely do not want a funeral. I do not want someone looking at me. If someone didn't talk to me during life, they certainly don't want them ogling me, you know, in death. I'm like, oh, okay, time out. Like, holy smokes. I didn't know that. We, you know, because we've never had that conversation. So the nice thing about this particular series is we give you this fantastic workbook that has all these charts that you can actually like, okay, I did this. Oh, nope, not this. And so you can kind of line it up of what, where to start. Thinking about questions for yourself, some of those kind of probing questions. You know, where do you stand? And then it kind of takes you through, okay, you can do this piece, right? And we talk about, you know, planning your funeral. We talk about advance directives, so medical advance directives, financial advance directives. Budget, what do you want to get out of later life, right? So let's say I'm going to retire in a couple of years and like, what do I want to do? What do I want my retirement to look like? Do I want to be able to travel? Do I want to go see my kids in, you know, North Carolina twice a year? Okay, then my budget needs to reflect that, right? Or, you know, do I want to? I just had this conversation with someone last week. They were talking about someone else in their family that was in a nursing home and or long-term care. I shouldn't even say it was a beautiful apartment because I saw it. So I'm like, oh my gosh, that's like super nice. And they're like, oh, but it's so many $1,000s a month and that's a waste. They worked all their life and then this going. And I said, hold on, time out. Like, what do you want to do with your money? Like, what is your goal?
Right.
Is your goal that you want to give it to your children or your grandchildren or the next generation and you want to give them as much as possible? Okay. Then no, you don't want to be. But if your goal is to take care of yourself and your loved ones, you know, till the end and make it comfortable, well, then that's what that money is for. That's what that money is for. And don't feel bad about that. So I think that's one of those questions that you got to kind of ask yourself of where, what's my goal? What do I want to do? And so that's, again, introspective.
And it's a great way to start the classes, the sessions. Yep. It's a good way to start things off.
Thinking about like what do you want, right? Mm-hmm. And then again, you know, we talk a lot about having conversations. So part of this is knowing what you feel. And so again, we have great, you know, charts and worksheets and kind of takes you through stuff. We talk about values. We talk about things like definition of what is fair.
Mm-hmm.
I think you and I have talked about this before. Fair is one of those words that, holy smokes, I could have 100 people and 100 people are going to give me a different definition for fair, right? But really important that when we're talking about anything related to, you know, end-of-life decisions, how, that you know what your definition of fair is and that you have that conversation with your family, because many times they're not, you know, I can say it and you and I are thinking two different things.
Yeah. And to that point, Jackie, when it comes to having the conversation and piggybacking off of the uncomfortableness of it, there's nobody who walks into it with a big smile on their face and feeling jolly. And it can be really difficult sometimes to realize, well, as a kid, how do I talk to my parent about this? But as something that I've had to recently face is me talking to my kids about this. I hadn't really thought much about that, to be honest.
Yeah.
And it's in conversations with you that it has actually come up. And I'm talking with my oldest, Bria, and she's asking me about what kind of funeral I want. And I'd like a, you know, it's such a me answer. Like, well, I'd like a New Orleans style funeral if you could pull it off. If you can. If you can't, don't worry about it. It's fine. You know, all that kind of thing. Yeah. But in talking about it, she told me what she wanted.
Yeah.
And it just organically came about. I think a lot of this conversation happens that or can happen that way.
Yeah.
You don't have to go into it with your fist clenched.
No.
It can often be a opening conversation, a very bonding conversation.
Yeah. And just open the door, right?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, just kind of in a prompt. It's funny. I have told folks for many, many years that I love the holidays for that reason, because it is organic. And people are like, oh, I'm not going to talk about death, you know, during Thanksgiving. And it's like, but you can have a conversation of, hey, you know, such and such, I saw that their family did this. What do you think about that? You know, would you be interested in something like that? We've never really talked about this. Like, well, you know, what do you want to do you want to be cremated? Do you want to be buried? Do you want, you know, and that's just one piece of it. But again, it's conversations. I find, again, just I always use family examples, but in my own family, my dad's siblings all live in other parts of the state. And we've been really I will say shocked, but found it very interesting that in the last couple of years, they've all put headstones in the cemetery where they grew up. They live 4 or 5 hours away, right?
Huh.
So why did they make that decision, right? And I was like, huh, I would have never thought you have done that, right? And then I literally just had a conversation this past week with one of my aunts, and she said, well, we always thought of it as coming home. Like, it's to us, it's coming home. And I'm like, oh, huh, I've never thought of it that way, right?
That's good.
Like, oh, that's such a powerful way of thinking about it. In my head, I'm thinking, well, your kids and your grandkids and your great-grandkids live in Milwaukee. They live in Chicago. Wouldn't you want to be close to them? So if they wanted to come in, nope. It's like coming home. And I'm like, oh, I love that.
That's
right?
Beautiful. That's, that hit me.
Never thought of that, right?
Like that.
So again, it's these ideas of, you know, how do we prompt this thinking about, and there's many stages, right? So I've been talking about kind of a, you know, end of life, whether it's a funeral or a celebration. But then, like I said, there's also advanced directives. There's also, you know, just going into the hospital and what do you want your choices are. We always tell folks there's the 5 D's, right? So think about this when there's a 5 D. So a death. So not, you know, in your family might change the way, you know, you look at it, or you might have to change your materials because maybe that person was your power of attorney for healthcare, or they were something. If there's a new diagnosis, so sometimes it changes the way we think if we get a chronic condition or maybe even a terminal illness. So death, diagnosis, decade, those big birthdays, you know, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, pulling your papers back out, looking at them again. Decline, if you have a decline in health. So maybe I just can't do what I did before and now I'm thinking about things a little bit differently. And the last one is, I hate this word, but domicile, but house. So if you downsize your house, or you move into an apartment, or again, long-term care, or, you know, sell some things, some properties, or that kind of thing. Again, great time to pull the papers back out. Cool thing about like your advanced directives is that if you don't change it, you don't have to change it, right? So you can look at it, and if everything has stayed the same, it's good. It's fine. Yeah. Advanced directives, both for Power of Attorney for Finance, Power of Attorney for Healthcare, and then your wishes, they do not have to go through an attorney. So you can do them self. If you choose to, that's fine. But you literally can go to the state site or your healthcare system, and they'll give you a great packet. I just saw one from Aspirus this past week. It was fantastic. And the only thing is, it does have to be signed and witnessed by two people that are not related to you mm-hmm. in any possible way. So that's so important mm-hmm. to be legal and state of Wisconsin. They have to be witnessed by two people that are not related to you. I just was working with someone last week that, again, at Aspirus, but that they brought in two social workers that signed and witnessed for the family. And I'm like, oh, that's great, right? Super cool if you want to get it done right then and there. I'll go back to that example a couple times because it was very eye-opening for me, because I feel like I teach this, I try to breathe this, right? Like I try to tell people, and I'm pretty fluent in it. But then as you experience it with people, you're like, oh, okay. So this particular family, they had their papers filled out. They had just reviewed these, I think, early spring, so maybe May or June. So everything was up to date. And then a couple family members had a decline in health. So again, we're in some long-term care, and that affected everyone else without even knowing it. Mm. So then someone does end up in the hospital, and all of a sudden, the healthcare team, and they ask you this every time you go into the ER, you get admitted to the hospital, you change rooms. They keep asking you, okay, if you're James, if your heart stops, do you want someone to come in? And all of a sudden this person is going, no, I don't. And everybody's like, okay, what? We just did these papers. What? Whatever. And they go with what the person says. So all of a sudden this person now is a DNR. They slap a DNR bracelet on the person, and everyone else is like, what's happening? So then again, have conversations. Okay, you filled out these papers, in June, you did not say you were a DNR. Such and such, and they're talking about other people in their family. I don't want to end up in long-term care. I don't want to end up, sitting in a wheelchair and I can't lift my head. Okay, that's great. Mm-hmm. But that's not what we're talking about. They're saying you choke on your roast beef right now that you're eating for supper, and they will not restart your heart. Oh, that's not what I said. Right. I'm like, oh, that is what you said. So the other part of this is that's why it's so important to fill these things out ahead of time. And again, have them filed with your healthcare systems, because if you are under duress, you're not thinking clearly. Right. This isn't a good time. You might still be mentally with it, but they might ask you that, and you might go, oh, no, I don't. It's like, holy smokes, you just made yourself a DNR. Did you want to be a DNR? No. They did it, right? So it's like, holy. So again, for me, it was this kind of awakening of, yeah, I can say this, and we can go through this, and you can fill out that book, and you can file your papers. But again, in the end, it does come down to what you say. And if you're under duress, they take what you say verbatim. So it's really important. That, again, that's why it's important to have these conversations with your family members, so they can do that, be that check and go, okay, I saw you just filled this stuff out a couple months ago. Yeah. What has happened? I'm not disagreeing with you. Right. Like, if you're a DNR, you're a DNR, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But what has changed in the last 2 months that you went from this to this, And again, it's that conversation. Mm-hmm. So then you can have this conversation, because I think this is also really important as we have any of these conversations or go through any of these decisions, that there's no judgment.
No.
There's no judgment here. You can feel what you want, and you can change your mind tomorrow.
Yeah.
So like I said, if you don't change anything, you leave it. If you do change it, you just fill out a new paperwork. And that's fine. It's super easy. It doesn't cost anything. It's great.
Life is entropy. It is crazy. You don't know what's going to happen 2 minutes from now. The more you can plan, the more you can prepare for, the less you have to worry when entropy happens.
Yes.
And it's also, I think, a big part of life. Most people that are in this position are parents. Yep. And I think one of the things you realize, if you're any good at it, is that it ain't about you.
Right.
Your life stopped being about you the moment that happened. Yeah. You're so important. You need to focus on you. You and I have talked about this, Jackie, about taking care of your own backyard and stuff. But this is about being a good parent. This is about taking care of the kids. Right. And I think one of the most heartbreaking things I see when there is a loss of life in a family is it's not the loss of life as it is what happens to that family afterwards.
Right.
When you don't have these estate planning things lined up and some of this other stuff, it creates... You're already dealing with a lot of emotions and a lot of hurt, and you're already in the process of the grieving process. Throwing this monkey wrench in there doesn't help anybody. The more you can prepare and plan these things, the more that, hey, let them grieve, let them hurt, let them feel their feelings, and at least they don't have to worry about this. At least, wow, mom and dad at least took care of this. Yeah. It hurts losing them, but at least it also isn't compounded by my brother and sister and I are fighting because this wasn't taken care of or something like that.
I have a quote in this series that I'm not going to get it verbatim, but for lack of a better word, says what you just said. The greatest gift you can give your family is having prepared. And it is this idea exactly of what you said. Anything that you have done that you can share your wishes to prevent families, you're right. So there's, I don't have recent statistics from since COVID, but pre-COVID, there was some really strong statistics on the number one reason that families do not talk is how something went down when a loved one passed. And it can be the will, it could be who took care of them, or you know, what decisions that were made in the hospital. It can be, you know, even non-title property distribution, who got grandma's dishes. Like, all of this stuff is what, because people are emotionally tied to it, and you don't know what they're emotionally tied to. So some people it is physically the person, some people it's a memory, some people it's an item that a memory is attached to. It's very powerful, and as you said, grief is so powerful. We talk about grief in one of our modules too, and that you, it hits you, it blindsides you right out of nowhere, and you don't know that seeing this little yellow teacup is going to trigger everything, and you know, like, holy smokes. So again, greatest gift is anything that you can have done. And it's interesting, I haven't talked about this yet today, but there's also this cultural piece to it, right? So many cultures, even talking about death is taboo. It's not something we do. Or, you know, some cultures will say, well, it's the oldest son. Like, they will just take care of it. Okay. And that's fine. But again, they still have to make all these decisions.
Right.
And is everyone else going to be okay? And they're guessing what you wanted or you don't want.
Yeah.
Right. So it's this part of, and I like that you brought up too, it's how do you make it easier for them so that they can grieve and they can focus on that piece of it, right? I probably told the story before, but a very dear friend of ours, this woman had breast cancer for over 5 years. And towards the end, she knew that it was towards the end, right? And she was at home until the end. And I kept asking, you know, okay, have you talked about this? Like, as a family, do you guys know what she wants? Blah, blah, blah. And they kept going, no, no one wants to talk about it. Like, it just, you can't say it, you know, you can't bring anything up, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, okay. And literally, as the ambulance came to the farm on the last day and she was wheeling out, she called her daughter-in-law over and went like this and said, it's all taken care of. It's in my sock drawer. And she literally had everything planned out, right down to the music at the funeral, the flowers that she wanted. She wrote her own obituary. She had all of her papers, because she did the work for the farm, all the paperwork, what the passwords were to her, you know, computer, blah, blah, blah. Didn't tell anybody, and they didn't want to talk about it because they wanted to spend as much time with her and in the present and enjoy that. But she took it upon herself to make sure that it was all taken care of. And literally, last couple of breaths said, here it is. This is where it's at. It's ready to go. Now, does that work for everybody? No. And I'm not saying that's ideal either. But again, the important key here is there's no right or wrong way for any of this. Right. And I will say this in each one of these sessions, right? So whether we're talking about, you know, budgeting and what do you want, we're talking about, again, funeral planning or end of life, your end of life decisions, you know, towards long-term care, or do you want any of the pieces with that, or grieving, or any of this, there's no right or wrong. I say that over and over. Like, I'm going to give you just what are the options and ways to kind of make your drudge. I'll use the word drudge your way through this, because it's heavy. It's heavy stuff. Yeah. All of this is heavy stuff. That's the other part of this is what we have heard so far in the last couple of years with this, because it's a new curriculum. It's only been out about 2 years, is that people say, I love that I can take it at my own pace. Right?
Yeah.
So I can start this and I can look at it, but it might take me, 6 months to make it through this component of it. There's no right or wrong here.
No.
There isn't. So that's super cool too, that people are allowed. And some of it's also this, I really need this piece. I really want to talk about advanced directives, because I know that every time I go to the doctor, they hit me with it as soon as I'm trying to check in, but I really don't know what it is, right? During COVID, we had some really good friends that stuff happened in the hospital and that's not what they wanted, and they were really upset with how it went down. Yep. Because you didn't have your advanced directive filled out, right? So that was like a red flag for them. Oh, I need to fill this out. But what does that really mean, or how does it? In Wisconsin, we are super lucky. Those advanced directives come right off the DHS site. They are literally a yes or a no. Mm-hmm. They are so sweet. Like, they're just
very
easy.
Simple.
Yep, they're easy to fill out. So even though it's daunting to think about the decision to actually fill it out, it's fantastic. It's like super easy. So
the last 2 weeks, both my parents have had hip surgery. Last week, my dad. This past Monday, my mom. Which is a side note, as foolish romantics, that's a little taking it a little too far. You don't have to get matching hip surgeries. But because of this, my mother lost her mother after a surgery.
Yeah.
It weighs heavy on her. So this topic comes up. We get talking about this. We have a very dark, sarcastic sense of humor in our family. So talking about death isn't too big for us. And my mother and I got talking about this, and when it comes to like Jewish families and how it was so embedded in the culture to talk about this stuff. It's not taboo in that culture to talk, because you had to with the history that there.
Right.
So we get talking about it, and before I realize, and we've had this conversation multiple times before, we get halfway through and I realize, wait a minute, I never heard that before. And we were just kind of casually doing this just to make my mom feel a little bit better.
Right.
She's dotting her I's, crossing her T's, and here something comes up that we hadn't even talked about, and we're very comfortable talking about this subject than most. So even for us, there's gray area that maybe you didn't think of that comes up. My sister and I had something as well a couple weeks ago. She's bopping around. My mom has done a really good job of marking things and all that for us. She sees this knickknack. Man, I've lived this since I was a kid. Like, you too? I wanted that. Like, we had that discussion, and it was fun. We were okay with it. But even planners like us have these things come up.
Yes, and it does, and it changes. So that's a great example of those 5 D's. Like, you hit 3 of them right there. Because it does make you think about things from a different perspective. So it is important that you do have those conversations. I think the other thing I haven't said today that's really important on a lot of this is, especially with the advanced directives piece, that Wisconsin is not a next of kin state.
Yes.
And I know you and I have talked about this before, so I'll say that one more time. Wisconsin is not a next of kin state. So what that means is that if something does happen to you and you go into the emergency room or any healthcare system, if you do not have the advanced directive filled out, by law, they are not required to ask a family member about decisions. It's the medical team's responsibility. Mm-hmm. Now, before you go, no, that's not right. Yes, most healthcare systems will ask the family and they will have that conversation, but by law, they are not required to.
Right.
So that's where, when I said during COVID, stuff happened. The families were like, oh, it's not, we didn't want that, blah, blah, blah. If you didn't have your advanced directives filled out, the medical teams were making decisions super fast in the best interest, and they were, choosing what they wanted. And it might not have been what the family wanted, but that's the law. So that's why, again, it's so important to fill out those papers, file them, share them with your family members, file them with your healthcare systems. And they will check for you when you check in to see if you have one on file. You can ask that. So it's great. So
I think one of the other things that I've heard from these classes that I hear people talk about is, I don't know if it's something that's set in the notes for you to do, but it comes up either organically or planned, ways to bring this conversation up and ways to get into this conversation come up. up. And even talking to other people that are taking the class even can be good conversations that you don't know what can come up of.
Oh, yeah. So that's a great, excellent point, too. So these are, let's talk about when this is. So this particular series will be starting mid-September. So they're on Monday nights. So the first one is Monday, September 18th, 6 to 7 p.m. at McMillan. Now, I say 6 to 7 p.m., and that is the actual class. Generally, we stay 6 to 7:30, and maybe even 5:30 to 7:30 because of what you just said. I did a pilot here in town last spring, and I asked the whole group, it happened to be all ladies in that group, and I said, well, what was your favorite part? And they said, well, part two. And I'm like, part two? Like, week two, lesson two, module two? Like, what do you mean part two? And they said, oh, no. When we were done with the class and then we sat and talked for a half an hour, that was my favorite part. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, because of what you just said. Because everyone thinks that it's just them. Everyone thinks, it's just me, I'm going through this. And then when you can hear someone else's story or their example, and you realize, huh, everyone goes through this. Every single person. And then it makes you feel normal. And then I can literally physically see people go, oh, as someone else shares their example.
Yeah.
So it's great. So again, 6 to 7 p.m., yeah, that extra half an hour, you don't have to stay, but that is just kind of questions and answers, sharing stories. So free of charge, no cost. Call the extension office if you want to register. So that is 715-421-8437. Again, 421-8437. Free of charge is 7 weeks, Monday nights. But if you just want to come for advanced directives, you can just come for that. So it works.
You're so good at this. God, I love talking to you, Jackie. Thank you for the time and everything you do in our community. We'll talk soon. Take care.
Thanks.
Well, more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.